This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3834 for Thursday, the 13th of April, 2023. Today's show is entitled 2022-2023 New Year's Show Episode 5. It is part of the series HPR New Year Show. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 120 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is 2022-2023 New Year's Show, where people come together and chat.
Oh, and because Danny whined and cried so prettily the other day, I downloaded that Kirby, and I'm going to be printing it out and turning it into a fan. I already got the 40-millimeter fan for it.
What's the Kirby?
The fume extractor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the one that Honky posted.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. It was you that cried so prettily about it. So
what did I say? I don't remember talking about it.
Oh, if you can't put it in your ears, Joe's not going to be interested.
Yeah, that's right. So you are interested in it.
I'm just interested in annoying you. Because he's also got another one that's not Kirby that I think would be much more useful because you can like mount it onto the different arms that I have floating around, and then just move it into the correct position to extract your fumes.
For context, if you don't listen to the Luckcast, everything Joe does is related to headphones. That's his fetish.
If
if I'm not mistaken.
It's right? Headphones, yeah.
Or so that's mobile gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. I'm selling you short.
Rebuild a PSP. Did I discuss that? I think I discussed that.
How's everybody doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Doing all right. Just here chilling, waiting for the new year to roll around. Here with my girl and the godmother. So we're going to be leaving to a party soon, but we're just kind of chilling. I wanted to jump in and wish y'all a happy new year. Figured I'd chat for a little bit.
Happy new year.
Happy new year.
Gute Rutschen Neues Jahr.
That was really bad. I apologize.
That was horrible. And my German is horrible. Totally that was wrong. Horrible.
Guten Rutschen.
It's definitely better than mine.
I keep getting confused where the S goes. It's ins neue Jahr, not in neues Jahr. I don't understand German.
My girlfriend lived there for 13 years, so she speaks it quite fluently. And she's Cuban, so maybe she'll teach me.
I live there currently and know nothing about the language. Hell.
Well, that asks me is difficult.
No.
Everybody there speaks English.
Yeah, in Berlin, nobody cares.
A friend of mine had a neighbor from Frankfurt, and his neighbor had the bright idea of teaching him Frankfurter dialect. Then he goes to college, and we're speaking proper German, high German, whatever you want to call it. And the professor says, "I don't know what that is, but it ain't German."
So let's see. Du hast mich links einfach drei vier fem mutter du wicks a good du had a du pass me ready Firefly. Now what's this? It's all Rammstein songs from that one of the original albums. That's how you can learn German. Just listen to some Rammstein, really good metal band.
Despite the fact that it's completely wrong.
Well, what is wrong?
The song. From what I understand, the sentence structure is completely wrong.
No, they're all different song names. I gave a few song names in one there, but there's a good album and stuff. Well, it's all good. It's good. It's got quite big, I think, in the last 20 years or so.
Now, you see, what you want to listen to is Franz Lang and his Bavarian yodeling.
Oh, you thought of something else. Anton Aus Trial. Oh, that's what they were playing in Austria all those years ago when we were skiing, and that is quite funny in the YouTube video as well. That's good. DJ Otzi, Europop. Very funny.
No DJ Otzi.
You've heard
George,
of it?
George, no. No. Right, okay. I knew DJ Otzi from when I was a kid, and I didn't know it was him. But he did that very famous cover of Hey Baby. Ooh.
Yeah, that's the other song. He's got that song as well, yeah.
No, George Geospine infected me with a terrible song of his called A Man Fu Amore. No, George, don't laugh at that. You don't get to laugh at that. You don't get to laugh at that. No. Was it ein Körper wie ein Traum und Hüpfe wie ein Traum? No. A Körper wie ein Baum und Hüpfe wie ein Traum. A body like a tree and hips like a dream. No.
Look, just listen to Burger Dance. You'll be okay.
Do not listen to anything this man recommends.
Never.
And these are regular discussions in Tech and Coffee all the time.
The Antonelle's Trail, oh, they loved it when we went skiing, that's for sure, in those ski stops. They really did. That was their the most famous song from Austria, it seems. A bit of German sounds like more manly than, say, English. English is a bit of a weak language, really. As is French. I know Swedish as well, and yeah, as is Swedish as well.
Speaking of French, I'm trying to get Matthew in here, Sporefnet.
German is like, yeah, it's quite powerful sounding, something like
that. Just installed his, I don't know, 20th distro in the last week. He just keeps installing distros every time.
Sounds like Moss.
Yeah. Moss is one of our regulars in Tech and Co.
Is he?
Oh, he's in there all the time. We have two rooms. He's always in there.
Sounds like somebody needs to be on a quality assurance team for a distro or something. They can install the ISO a million times. And the packages as well.
If someone was willing to pay Moss to do it, I'm sure he would.
And the room got silent after he moved.
Hey, I'm thinking about that awful song, actually, now. Hey, Baby, that thingy mentioned. From DDL.
Okay, go to the YouTube, so to speak, and look up DJ Utsi Burger Dance. And then jump out of the window seconds after listening.
George, stop trying to scare our new friends.
I know. Don't scare the norms. Don't scare the straights.
So, DJ Utsi Burger Dance, yeah?
Don't.
I won't play it here because it's copyrighted. You're in luck, but I'm curious now to see what this actually is.
It's all fair use. It's not like we're making money off this.
You mean we're not?
We're not paying you to be here. Or if we are, it's all honky paying you.
Yeah, who do I send my bill to at the end of this?
Ken Fallon.
Ken Fallon.
Yep.
Got it.
Make sure you send him my bill, too.
Ken, I think we follow each other on something, or we've talked before, other than me listening.
What, me? I'm on a couple other shows, and my voice is extremely generic.
Yeah, so is mine.
I'm on, Tilt, although that mostly got taken over by Joel, although Rich has been showing up the last couple of shows.
Said he follows favorite.
Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza, yeah? I just loaded it up as well.
Yeah, that was a really famous one in Butlins, if anyone knows Butlins.
That would seem famous. That's just...
Honestly, DJ Otsi, what an awesome guy, yeah?
No.
Absolutely amazing, yeah?
No. Damn it. I reject.
You're my new hero, even more so now that I know about all this.
George, I'm never going to forgive you for passing this on again.
I'm sorry.
This is George's equivalent to syphilis.
I've infected everyone.
Should listen to Death.
Oh yeah, I like Death. Death is great. If you mean the metal band, yeah.
No, I mean the 1970s proto-punk band.
Oh.
Although the Death, you know, the metal band is good too. I was specifically talking about the proto-punk band. I think they still play South by Southwest.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna guess and say that there's some distro hoppers in the room.
Well, no, that's old fashioned. No one does that anymore. I'm going, what year are you in?
Well. So I got an issue. I got an old computer that I want to that it used to belong to my wife's aunt, and she recently passed away. But we want to keep the Windows operating system on there for the time being in case something comes up that there might be some information on there that we need to get
for legal
reasons or whatever. I wanted to just basically do a dual boot for now.
Why not just pull the hard drive?
Maybe the easiest way to go. I'm not sure what I have laying around for another hard drive to throw in there.
I read about some obscure low power Linux distro. I can't remember its name now, but there's a few of those out there, I guess.
Linux?
Well, no, the problem is it runs It'll run anything. But the problem is I wanted to try to dual boot it, and with Windows 10, it has, like, the entire drive is taken up by a partition called BitLocker, and then, like, a very small NTFS partition, and then, like, two other partitions with. But I can't readjust the size of the BitLocker partition, which is taking up 90% of the hard drive.
Your best bet then is not to put it on hard drive. Do what suggests. Hold the hard drive. You could probably buy like $120.
Yeah.
Yes, Rod, I've gone. I just pulled the drives and bought an SSD. Doesn't have to be anything fantastic, and it's. You know, it's made an improvement. I have an old Dell E6410 running Slackware that I went ahead and I pulled the drive from, and I just dropped Slackware in there one of those cheap SSDs.
Have Danny send you a hard drive.
I'm sure I can find a hard drive. It's just, I was hoping to just do a quick dual boot of it, and then
I really miss Slackware.
Well, if there's no space, I mean, the only thing, if there's a little bit of space, maybe Puppy or something tiny, a small.
Why not? If you're just running the I was going to say, why don't you just put a USB stick in it that's running a live disk?
I could.
Take yourself, Tails or something, and just have a really sort of secure private.
I even did Debian on a USB stick before.
That's run Kali Linux right on a USB stick and become a mad hacker.
Yeah, that you're right. It's probably just the best way to go. Just pull the hard drive and. It's just to then put it back if we needed something off of that would be a massive pain in the ass to then pull the hard drive, especially if I get the computer set up and then find out I need to get that back at that hard drive. Well, I guess I could try to get the hard drive from something else. All right.
Well, it's better that than having one of the horror stories that I've read about trying to dual boot with Windows 10.
Oh, yeah.
I have a dual boot with Windows 10.
Did you install Windows 10 yourself? Or?
Yeah.
It's easier.
Probably.
No. Yeah. The key word here is you have to think forensically.
Explain.
You don't want anything touching that drive, especially since it's encrypted. Do you have the key to the BitLocker?
Whatever the login would probably unlock the BitLocker. My wife has that.
You can tell it to remove the BitLocker and then free up that space.
That might be a way to go. Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to say, because as long as the drive is in the computer and you have the login, TPM should take care of decrypting BitLocker. You can then either remove BitLocker entirely or remove it temporarily, resize the drive, and then re-encrypt it. And if you do that, then you'll have the backup key for the BitLocker in case you want to remove the drive and then mount it externally somewhere else and you can unlock it.
From what I know of this type of encryption in Windows, I'm not sure about. I think. If you remove that drive and put it in another machine, it's looking at hardware serial numbers too. So it may not, you may not be able to get back into that drive.
Well,
it uses
we're talking
TPM,
about
so.
Removing that drive, setting it off to the side, and then if he needs any information from it, reinstalling it on that same computer.
Yeah, true. Probably.
I think
that shouldn't be a problem. Like if you did that, as long as you don't, to be honest, yeah, the TPM is what's actually unlocking the drive at boot. So as long as that's not tampered with in any way, it should be fine.
So, but I should be able to go in and log in and turn BitLocker off and then be able to resize and then just leave BitLocker off, hopefully.
Yeah,
leaving BitLocker off, it just seems like it's going to make everything so much easier. It means that also if I needed to, I can pull that drive out and get the information off of it without, since BitLocker's not there, I should be able to get information off of it.
It's just going to take a long time.
What, to get it off? Well, yeah, I don't worry about that. I can set that and then just walk away for a while.
The last time I used BitLocker, it didn't take that long to decrypt it.
Okay.
But your mileage may vary. As I say, it depends how much is on the drive currently, how big the drive is, what speed the drive is, whether it's like SSD or HDD. But yeah, you can just leave it running. Just tell Windows, decrypt my drive and turn BitLocker off.
All right. Awesome. I think that'll do it. Thank you. That's one project. My next one is trying to get nicotine onto the Rock 64 through a Docker container.
That couldn't be too difficult.
Not sure. I mean, it's going to be running headless. Well, I could probably attach something to it, but it doesn't have a desktop to it. What I have is I got a 2.5 hard drive bay. It's a 4 bay. I got that plugged into it right now, and I got like 3 drives in there, and it's able to see those drives. So I'm hoping to set it up as kind of a backup for certain things. Like anything I would pull from Nicotine would go to that, and then it would do like an rsync to, like, let's say music. Let's say I use Nicotine to get some music. It would then do an rsync with my Funkwheel folder.
All right, I think I'm going to step away for a little while and close my eyes.
And I should probably check with the family and see what's going on. Probably start dinner soon.
Yeah, I'm going to step away as well. I got to start getting ready. Y'all have a happy new year. See you next year.
You too.
Happy new year.
I'll be back soon. I don't know about how soon is soon, but I'll be back later.
Oh, Sebastian, are you here or are you just recording?
I'm here, really, yeah.
I'm walking through somebody through the install of Mumble.
Minutes, or you muted.
I have a watch on. I might hear that in the background, actually. I don't know. yeah, flat. I have an hour and a half until, just over, actually, until New Year, yeah. I was thinking the same, like, was that it? Everyone was disappearing, and then, no, I guess that wasn't quite the case. That DNA Opsy thing was funny. I don't know if you were there then.
No, I'd stepped away for a moment. I had to look at my new SSD to see if it had its screw, and it doesn't.
No, we ended up talking about German songs, and then it turns out whatever he's called, Sparish, didn't like this particular song, and it was like, all right, yeah.
No, I live in Germany, I have to put up with Schlager all the time. DJ Ötzi is not just Schlager, he is an affront to humanity.
No, you're from England.
Stop talking about DJ Ötzi.
You're from England originally, aren't you, though, yeah?
What gave it away?
Your accent, is it? Or...
Yes, I'm from Bristol.
What, are you? I'm from Bristol. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or by Bristol.
Yes, born in Bristol, raised in South Gloucestershire in a very small village on the outskirts near Badminton.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm in South Gloucestershire, really, just here, but my boundaries with Bristol are just there and there, if you get what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's interesting. Well, the thing is, I read some comments before on the internet actually about DJ Ötzi somewhere, and people were saying how, like, hey, my German friend got me listening to this for a laugh, and it's absolute hell.
DJ Ötzi is a really nice man. From what I've seen and heard of him, he seems like a really, really nice man. But he is a great example of just why German Schlager should not exist. And that extends into Austrian music as well. It's god awful. It's so bad.
Isn't that what kind of makes it funny, though, in a way as well?
No.
I remember skiing and stabbing in Austria years ago, and they would, you'd stop at these ski stops, and it was just DJ Ötzi out on the trail everywhere, and the Austrians were just loving it. You know, it was like, woo.
You might not remember, but the British used to be novelty songs like nobody else. They had the absolute horror shows that were things like Ernie and drives the fastest milk car in the West. Things like, you know, Joe Dolce and Shut Up Your Face. And these things have haunted me since I was a child because they're musically just devoid of any value. And they're fundamentally not clever enough to be funny. And DJ Ötzi is a continuation of this trend, and it still haunts me. In German, in a dialect of German that I barely understand.
Oh, yeah, some weird Austrian dialect.
Yeah, I don't speak Austrian German. I hear people speaking it, and it's like I barely speak, you know, Hochdeutsch, the sort of like textbook German. I barely speak that.
Wasn't it Gospel we said to put the song on for a laugh, though?
No.
Someone said do it. Who was singing the Berg song?
That was George.
Oh, George, right.
George just does things to punish me.
I do. For 11 years, I've
been. Yeah, truth.
I don't know. It's called Europop, isn't it? So it's got this, like, unique, special kind of, like, Austrian, German, whatever it is, yeah.
It's like I say, it's Schlager. Schlager is just an abomination.
Rammstein, on the other hand, that's a good band. That's German.
They're fine. It's not to say that Germany doesn't have any good music. Of course it does, like any country. And most countries also have terrible music. I'm just saying that in Germany, if you're forced to suffer through German radio, which tends to play Schlager music, which is just, you know, incredibly bottom of the barrel pop music or sort of novelty music, you very quickly learn that there is no worse hell.
Do you like metal music at all?
Me, yeah.
Which bands?
Well, lots. I was raised on sort of Iron Maiden, and very quickly sort of went from the sort of British glam metal into more sort of Finnish symphonic metal, so stuff like Camelot and Nightwish.
You said it, Nightwish, awesome. Now, I've got my second cousins are in Finland, right? Or Finnish, well, the parents are. One's in Cambridge now and with a family, and the other one's in, not sure, probably Finland somewhere, and there's two guys. But they all grew up in a place called Kitee. Kitee. Do you have any idea what that is?
No.
That's where Tara Turnian, or whatever she's called, the original Nightwish singer, came from. They used to go to school with her, in fact. Yeah, well, whatever she's called. Yeah, Tara Turnian. Yeah. Because they're on the, like, third singer now. They've had Fleur Johnson and Annette something, yeah? Second one.
Yeah.
And, so I remember going over there in August 2000 as a 14-year-old, yeah? A first time over there, and they were going, it was about staying there, and it was like, oh, you can get pirated CDs in from Russia that look copied, you've got Wilshire Millennium, that's something else, and the Russian cakes. But it was also about going to the border, because my mum's mother was Finnish and they have a river, and she grew up in this farmhouse, and it was basically, right, you don't go down there, or we can go down here because you're 14 and my brother's 16, but this is Russia down there now, because there was a Finnish war and they lost the war and lost quite a big chunk of land. And it was very much like, if you go into Russia without permission, you know, you don't, even if you're just dog walking in the forest and walking there by mistake. Same thing, we came back in August 2008, I think it was, 2009, on a boat tour. It was very much like, right, we can't go on the other side of the lake because that's Russia. That's something else. But what was interesting was that, and also this all about Nightwish as well. Like, what's Nightwish? And I didn't really understand. But then they came over with us a year later in 2001, came over with the Wishmaster album, and I became an instant Nightwish fan. And it was not particularly known about anywhere back then, I don't think. Now it's more established around the world.
They're pretty popular. I think I got into them because my sister is a huge Finnish symphonic metal lover, and she's got like a PhD in Finno-Ugric linguistics, so she studies the languages on the border of Finland, which are dying.
Is my push to talk stuck again?
Yes.
Well, I guess it's a bit... Can you hear my washing machine as well, or slightly?
No, I can just hear myself.
I thought maybe. Well, it's not on a spin cycle. Maybe later. Yeah. Nightwish. And what annoys me is people go, oh, we go female fronted metal, and they go, oh, I like Evanescence, and it's like, oh, geez, Evanescence. You heard of that band, yeah?
Yeah, I know about Evanescence.
I some girl in 2003, oh, go listen to this, it's a pirate copy CD, and I thought, there's like one song that's kind of catchy, but I was thinking, like, you know, that's nothing compared to, say, Nightwish. Nightwish is just amazing, what it is, really. Although they probably use the women singers, and then when they want more money, they kick them out of the band, because the guy wrote the lyrics, I believe. And I think I read that they're on the last singer now. If it goes wrong now for a third time, that's it, the band's stopping. And Iron Maiden, Deep Purple, yeah, Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, as the classics.
I'm not as big a fan of Sabbath. Deep Purple, I don't really see as a metal band. They're sort of a
more metal rock, yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of blues rock.
Pink Floyd, Deep Sabbath, Black Sabbath.
I do public speaking, and I've delayed my speech until the 12th of January. So I was going to do it in November. It's only 7 minutes, but I do Toastmasters, if you know what that is. And the other Bristol club has got more people there. And I'm thinking, like, oh, geez, it's coming up now, that date again, and I'm going to have to do this speech, but I want to do it well. I'm going to do some sort of speech about banging powerful metal and rock music, yeah? Which is a bit vague, but I've been thinking, like, what am I really going to say here? You know what I mean? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Right, I think my protocol is up, but if it's working otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know what Toastmasters is.
That's an international organization for public speaking. It's in 144 countries, basically. It's where people go to become better at public speaking or learn leadership skills a bit and things as well. Even Richard Stallman, in fact, goes around the world, or has done, with his, you know, free software message. Don't use anything but free software. He learned in Toastmasters originally how to public speak, so I read.
Mm. Was it them who taught him to eat things off of his feet while he's talking?
I saw that video also as well somewhere. That was
It's awful.
There was a... Why have you moved from Bristol or South Gloucestershire or whatever?
I moved originally to Aberystwyth University, then to Hong Kong, then back to Exeter. Now I live in Berlin.
And why have you ended up in Berlin?
Because that's where the tech industry went after Brexit.
Is it? For what?
Well, a lot of our tech industry is just up and left. So a lot of our software providers, anyone who works in, like, web compliance and stuff, a lot of them picked up and left. So they went to Utrecht, Rotterdam, Amsterdam. Few of them went to Paris, and the bulk of them went to Berlin. I think some went to The Hague.
I think Britain's behind on tech. I mean, it used to have the Acorn, yeah? BBC, that was British, wasn't it? ARM process.
Yeah, so it was ARM. Yeah.
There still is Risk-OS, there's a niche thing. There's a Risk-OS show that should be in February in Bristol, actually.
Matrix is British as well. In terms of the majority of our tech industry, it's gutted. And the web compliance stuff is in particular kind of sucks because basically the UK was the biggest proponent of the GDPR. And so a lot of the net tech stuff was happening in the UK because we had very, very clear stipulations about the GDPR. We've had a very good relationship with Europe. We had a very good relation with America. And now that's gone. And we're ditching the GDPR. So.
GDPR, did you say?
GDPR.
GDPR, I heard, is like a new rule thing that came in and it can cause problems with certain stuff, yeah?
GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. Only causes problems for businesses.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So essentially what it is a framework, like with everything from the EU, that enables countries to make rules and laws governing the use of private data. And what it does for individuals is it gives us the ability to control how our data is used by companies and other individuals, and how that data is handled and transported. So it's a universally beneficial thing for users, but it's an incredibly frustrating thing for companies. But since companies shouldn't exist, I'm fine with that. I work for a web company, so I have to deal with GDPR
Was it you? Someone earlier, I was listening only on the stream, but they were talking about, they were a web developer and stuff, yeah?
About what, sorry?
Goofo or something? I don't know if it was you or someone else.
Oh, we were talking about Gopher.
Yeah.
And Gemini.
Yeah, that's it. It was you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was. And then we said, where'd you... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, the UK is going to be getting rid of the GDPR because they think that it's a barrier to investment. And they want to entice more businesses from the USA. But what they fundamentally misunderstand is that the GDPR was set up exactly to stop American companies from misusing our data. And Chinese companies and, you know... Also,
hang on, I think I'm crashing now because I'll be back in, hang on a sec. Yeah, I crashed there, but again, also if I hold a button down too long, it doesn't like it, and I don't know. And then the recording probably got lost again, but never mind. I hope it comes out earlier than August this time, though, this podcast. Anyone still here? Hello? Yeah?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was just...
I did say I was crashing. I don't know if that was heard, but... So he moved to Germany because of the tech industry being really bad in the UK. Are you still here, Spot? What is your name? What is his name? Sporif. Sporif or something, isn't it?
He stepped away and muted. So he's
oh, is he? Maybe to do the German New Year because it's like in 12 minutes. And yes, this is a big one, actually, if you're going to do the time zone thing. This is a very big one. Very big one. Although I think I can name most of those countries myself saying that. Most of Europe, really. Well, all of Europe, I think, except for, yeah. What's interesting is that he used to live near me somewhere as well. It's like, really? Okay. That's what he said. Small world. Are you still here, Netminer?
Yeah, I was just trying to find the time. Evidently, I closed the tab that I had locked on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can name most of those countries, because like I said, it is Europe, most of Europe in the next one.
Yeah, and we're talking 2300 Zulu?
UTC plus one, GMT plus one. And then it's Britain next, well, Brexit land, I'm going to say, actually. But not just Britain, it's the Canary Islands as well, actually, and also Portugal. Which is kind of interesting because Portugal is like, oh, and Iceland as well it will be, but Portugal for some reason are not in the plus one time zone. They're in the British time zone, and also Iceland don't change their clocks all year. I found that in May 2015, so they just stay in the GMT UTC all through. So they're with the UK in the next hour, but before that we got Germany, Sweden, etc. And where Ken is, I assume, he's just not been on here. Maybe Ken's just very busy or something this time, huh? He's here recording, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people have... I don't know whether it's because it's a Saturday or what, but people are trying to get stuff done before the Sunday, whatever.
I don't know, you'd think it'd be better on the weekend, if that means anything.
I brought somebody new into the room for you.
Matthew.
Yeah, it's Matthew. He's one of our advisors.
Hasn't he been on here once before? Or?
No.
Oh, no, he hasn't. No, some new, similar name. So he's brand new, is he, to this?
We have another Matt that used to come here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, isn't it? Matthew.
Yeah, it's in French.
I've known Matt for as long as I've known Sporif, around the same time. About 12 years now.
Well, gentlemen, don't be strangers, please.
I wanted to get Matt in here because he's probably like me. We're going to sit down. We were probably just going to do our usual tech and coffee, sit down in a video chat and Telegram. So now he's in here talking. I did tell him, I did warn him that this is being recorded and it's live and maybe three people in the world.
He seems to be quite reserved for a lady, for a gentleman from the Republic.
Yeah, I'm quite quiet, to be fair, but I like to talk somehow.
Do you know what he's into? You guys were just talking about it. Matt is a big metalhead in France.
He's from France and he's a metalhead, yeah?
Oh, he even looks the part, but we won't go there.
What metal do you like? Matt, too.
You can call me Matthew or Matt if you want, no problem.
Or Matt, maybe Matt's easier in English. but yeah, okay, Matt,
yeah.
What metal do you like? Metal bands?
Metal bands, first ever metal band, Metallica, first ever, and last one, Slipknot.
Did you say After Forever?
What? Excuse me?
I don't know if you said After Forever. I think you said Metallica, and I couldn't hear the other two.
Yeah, the kind of metal I'm into. I like the last Slipknot. I like the last Lacuna Coil. It's a European band. I like a French band which is called SUP, S-U-P, Extrapuration. I'm mostly into it since I'm 16, so it never left me.
I think Metallica is good but overhyped. It's been around a very long time. And in fact, now they've got their own charity as well. They do music and give to charity. They've got their own charity. That's how big Metallica is, yeah?
Yeah. Metallica has become so big, but when I knew them, they were not that famous. They were releasing the Black Album, and
everyone knows Metallica when you say metal, but I mean, the music is just the same as well. The same old, but it still sounds good.
Yeah. They went away from thrash metal a bit with Load, Reload. They came back
with Battery, Master of Puppets, Battery.
This kind of music is kind of cult. Everywhere you go, you hear Master, or something like that.
Yeah, Master of Puppets. Mm. Oh, Ken Fallon Mobiles entered, eh? Does that mean he's here in person? Oh, he's left.
I don't think he's been here in person all day, and I've been here since 5 a.m. time, Eastern Standard Time.
It's definitely
time,
recordings, so. Though, still, yeah?
Yeah, it broke probably about four hours ago or something. Stopped.
Well, Ken Fallon's recording?
Yes.
Is it recording now, or what?
It's recording now. It says...
It's weird.
I hope it's recording. I don't know. It said it stopped.
They rely on my recordings. I've crashed, and that was more for me in case the podcast came up in August. But I've lost that anyway. I think.
Would it be so bad if they lost the recording?
They released last year up in August, and it's like really August. It was last year's show. So I listened to the end bit with Clacky. Although I was talking to him, the Swedish or Hong Kong Swedish guy. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that chat from last year. But, yeah, as long as it doesn't crash and reduce it all. But I know it's a shame Ken's not been here. He must have been busy or something. So, well, we're saying metal. So we have Metallica, Death.
Yeah, I was really into it since all my youth. I was into it. And since then, I've then discovered some rap music. Some French rap music.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
doing a metal and rock speech, banging powerful metal and rock. I delayed it from November to January the 12th, and I'm thinking, oh no, it's coming up now again. So I do what's called Toastmasters. Got clubs all over the world for that, actually. Public speaking, a very good thing to be into. But I'm thinking, oh, I've got this speech coming up. I decided I'm doing something about rock and metal. It's like, oh, what am I really going to say up there? And also, a lot of people don't really like rock or more. They don't like metal because they think, oh, it's just screaming. And it's like, no, it's not. Well, some of it is, but some of it's just amazing. The lyrics and the vocals and how it builds up and... Oh, some of the hidden, give it a chance, listen to this. Woo, that's some nice build-up and lyrics hidden away in this song. And what I find as well is there's no proper metal rock station in the UK, it seems. There might be something hidden away, but I can find it on, like, foreign internet radio, but from France or Germany, but not UK. UK is into pop too much at the moment, even though we've got the good classics like Pink Floyd and Deep Purple for rock, and we had Queen even. That's Queen, but I don't know. It's not as good as it used to be. What was that?
The French are really cool too. It's Argyak, they say Queen.
Now we're on the hour. So in that case, Happy New Year, Matt, because you're in France, yeah? I'm going to say, and that Nine, are you here, by the way? That Mine, are you here?
No.
Yes, I'm
here. Right, here we go. This is a big one. So, let's see. This is just me. I'm not leading the list of countries, right? So, Happy New Year, France. Luxembourg. Yep. Small
happy
little country.
Year, happy New Year, Matt.
Happy New Year, France. Happy New Year, Luxembourg. Happy New Year, the Netherlands. Happy New Year, Switzerland. Happy New Year, Denmark. Happy New Year, Sweden. I'm half Swedish, by the way. Yeah. Happy New Year, Norway. Happy New Year. Have I missed one of those countries? I know. Oh, Spain, of course. Yeah. Although not the Canary Islands, saying that. Because that's in the UK time zone, which is next. Or sorry, Brexit land. Nice. And I said about Iceland earlier, but yeah, I may have missed something, but yeah, it's most of Europe.
Well, we're doing things by the sporting try here more than anything.
Say that again.
We're going for the sporting, a good old try. We're not a high precision outfit.
You mean we don't have to be exactly correct for the New Year bet, yeah?
That's right.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I know.
I have a funny story about the Azores and Portugal.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. Carry on. What's the story?
Well, back in the day, they were going to make a TV series.
Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
they were going to make a story called a series called 12 O'Clock High about World War II and the B-17 flights. So they had to fly a bunch of B-17s across the Atlantic Ocean. And they landed in the Azores.
Ken Fallen mobile left channel and disconnected.
What happened was evidently at the Azores, they had connections. The movie company or the TV company had somebody with deep pockets to smooth the way.
I'm sorry. The
only way that they could get towards England, which was their eventual destination, was to land in Portugal. Now the Portuguese see these military aircraft with all kinds of fake machine guns and whatnot hanging off of them, all sorts of fake ammunition and whatnot for the movie, and they get very upset. You know, they feel invaded. But somebody pointed out that a flight from the Azores to Portugal is a local flight. Evidently, Portugal owns the Azores. It's like a U.S. plane going from Hawaii to California. So they were saying, wait a minute, you haven't gone through customs. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. And he said, we don't have to go through customs. From the Azores to here is a local flight. Of course, from Portugal to Britain, is after you've done the Atlantic, is not too bad, unless the weather is rotten.
Slight AFK for me. I'm hearing an echo. Anyway.
Hello, guys. I'm back. Can you hear me?
You might want to put on push to talk or something. I think that's where the echo is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the push to talk.
Either that or adjust the sensitivity or something and turn down the speakers. Right, my PTSD is going crazy. They're sending off fireworks everywhere here.
Is that any better?
We can hear you breathing pretty heavily, and you're hot all the time.
I'm trying to find. I There it is.
All right.
you can hit the mic up top too. I don't know if you're using desktop or are you using...
Is that you, Mari?
Mr. Z has... Unfortunately, because the Mumble clients don't have a configuration file that you can access, to change to push to talk, you may have to go through the audio wizard all over again.
Yeah, I was looking around. There actually is a push to talk in the desktop one. I'm using Mint, and I'm using Mumble 1341. If you go to configure, I can configure.
I tried the configuration for the text to speech.
Yeah, but you're good. It's actually with you when it hears you, it activates. So you don't. I don't think you need to use. I'm just self-conscious. But it's configure settings, shortcuts, and then you create a shortcut for push to talk. So that's the only other way around it I've seen. I don't know if it works, but the option is to create one there.
Yeah, actually, now that I look at it, when I go to configure and I click settings, I have the option of activating push to talk and stuff. It's not too hard at all.
Yeah, they must have made it easier since the last time. I used to run a server and I haven't podcast.
No, usually, you know, audio problems, Mumble or Pulse Audio, well, it's pretty much a crapshoot. You know, 1 in 7 times you have to redo something.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, this has gotten better. I mean, it's still archaic looking, but it's gotten better over the...
I'm going to step away for a moment.
Okay.
I'll catch you in a few.
Gotcha. So, Matt, what do you think of Mumble? I mean, it kind of does a job. It's very similar to what we do and, you know, what we've done for years, just audio. And it's kind of like, to me, Mumble always reminded me of IRC for audio.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And, it's good to gather some time and to talk. I like it a lot, to be fair. So, I always come back to take a coffee and try the people that are there. I'm maybe a metalhead, but I'm a social person too. So,
yeah, man, you know how we feel.
And sometimes it's a total rejection. Sometimes it's a participation and.
Yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back.
I can't tell you how much I'm itching to finish upgrading my new micro PC.
Is it like one of those NUCs? Because that's what I have, like 3 of those, and they're fake NUCs.
Well, these are about the size of a book.
Yep, those are the ones I have. I have one as a Plex server, and I have one in front of me. And then I bought another one because they went down super. And they come with Ubuntu already on them, but I same thing.
I'm buying my. I do not trust my technical skills to deal with eBay, so I buy them pre-set up by the Amazon refurbishment.
Oh yeah, no. I've done that too.
But the interesting thing is, one of the ones I was looking at was a Ryzen CPU. Low end. And evidently the Ryzen CPUs are a little weird because they have 2 integer cores and 1 floating point core or something like that. Yeah. Anybody familiar with the Ryzen architecture?
Not at all. CPU architecture, it's complicated for me. It's a little bit, but...
Yeah, well, CPUs are getting stranger by the day, so don't. It's nothing to worry about.
I know that Apple come to the silicon market with their new processors, their system on a chip, I think that's what they call it.
There's a modified ARM processor.
And they gathered the different part that were thinking alone, and they gathered it. They are now thinking in conjugation, I don't know, in cooperation.
I believe that's what the designers call a system on a chip, or at least they're putting more of a system all together.
Yeah.
memory controllers, interrupt controllers, all of the stuff, these separate chips are now on the same die as the central processor and its caches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it was. I have a MacBook Air M2. I just bought it 1 month ago. And it's a really good PC. There's nothing to say about it. You can work, you can do all your stuff online. It's really good. Really, really good. Everything goes fast. I didn't test gaming, but it wasn't the purpose of my buying. So when I go for gaming, I'm generally tending to tower PC, you know, not laptops.
Yes.
So
may I suggest something to you?
Yes.
Do you watch YouTube videos?
Oh yeah, a lot.
There is a woman who I believe lives in Northern Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
She does her videos in English, but she also puts on French text because she's Frenchophone.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Her channel is called One Woman's Wilderness. She's a very lovely One Woman's Wilderness in English.
Okay, I get it.
In the summertime, she works with road crews, certifying the quality of their work. And in the wintertime, she lives in a remote cabin with a couple of, well, she calls them German shepherds, but one is pure white and the other one is more traditional shepherd colored.
Mm-hmm.
And she has built or helped build her cabin, her outdoor bathroom. She's still finishing her cabin in the winter times. Mm-hmm. She's an impressive lady, and as well as a lovely one.
Mm-hmm.
And because some of her stuff is in French, I thought you might find it pleasant.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll look at it. I look at a lot of coding videos, and mostly they are men, mostly they are masculine people, but there's also women sometimes. I saw them at Google, I saw them, but mostly it's a man thing right now. So.
This woman is, I believe, anything but masculine. You'll see her walking through the woods, and you'll see her standing still, and small birds will eat seeds right out of her hand.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she looks like a wood nymph. Yeah, and she eats with wood and has to go to a spring to get her water year-round.
Mm-hmm.
Quite impressive, because she wrestles containers that several, you know, many liters into the back of a pickup truck and stuff.
What was the name of the channel again?
It's called One Woman's Wilderness. Her name is Lisette.
Okay.
Lovely blonde.
I've been walking around cleaning and listening to you guys because I don't know. My OCD is kicking. You know how it is.
Gee, if you're into cleaning, I need to send you an airline ticket.
My own OCD. I have the Felix Unger, like with the relationship with my wife. I was definitely the Felix clean all day.
Well, I'm definitely the other guy. I was one to do cleanups, but my mother was one of these people who, if you started cleaning up in one corner or one room, she would suddenly raise the priority of cleaning up the room next door or the other corner or anything that you weren't doing. It's a rather good thing that she didn't drive, because she would put one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake, and then she'd wonder what that funny smell was. Which reminds me, after the holiday period is over, I will have to get back to disposing of a lot of the accumulated clutter around here, both mine and my parents' junk. Yeah, as soon as I ordered this little mini PC, Amazon sent to my email, "We have a computer you might be interested in," and it was a desktop with the same kind of system unit as as I was buying the mini PC to replace.
I think you said it was a Raspberry Pi thing, wasn't it, your mini PC?
Well, I've got a Raspberry Pi that's acting as my app cache, and it will be handling other chores.
However, for real, mini PC, you can check out Indiegogo right now if you want for a DPD Win4. I did. I've got some of the older DPD mini PC gaming and productivity devices and things. DPD is very good from Hong Kong. Nah, well, those are real mini PCs. They're like, what, 6-inch screens and stuff? Yeah, and they really are mini PCs, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that one of the reason that I built that server was that it had 3-screen capability, 2 display ports and 1 VGA, because I like using the VGA screen as a monitor.
We'll say Raspberry Pi, I mean, there'd been quite a few, I think it was 2011 actually, the first Raspberry Pi, and it was from Wales as well, which is kind of interesting, kind of cool in a way, because it's the UK, but Wales, not England. But yeah, there's Pi 64 and all sorts of things now.
I am told that the Raspberry Pi Foundation promises to normalize Pi production by maybe midsummer.
Yeah, I mean, I know it can be used for servers, and you can do some quite interesting things with Raspberry Pi, but to be honest, I never really got much into that myself, even though I do have a Raspberry Pi or two lying around there somewhere.
Well, I'm really thinking of it for, and I have a 2-gig Pi that may replace the 8-gig that I have. The reason I would free up the 8-gig for more robust uses, you know, VMs and Docker clusters and stuff like that. But what I want the Pi focus I'm looking at is right now it does app caching. I'm on DSL, so my download speeds are not that great, and since I have gigabit Ethernet within the house, the downloading stuff from the Pi to a local machine is a lot faster than pulling it off the wire.
Yeah, I guess so.
Besides, a lot of this is a learning experience, and again, I'm trying to get around Linux-based VM and Docker containers and whatnot, and get rid of VirtualBox.
Talking about virtual machines and Linux, did you follow the WSL, Windows Subsystem Linux, that they are working on? I don't know if it is recent, but it seems pretty recent. And you can have Linux in a Windows machine without actualization.
Yeah, yes, I've had that installed in the original Windows subsystem for Linux in Windows 10 on a laptop before. And there's an update where it can do, might even be able to run some of the GNOME stuff or something now, more so, but it's sort of interesting, but it's also probably a little bit like how you can run Linux apps on a Chromebook with something similar to that, sort of emulation, and it can run most Linux programs on a Chromebook. And that, I think, is amazing as well. The Windows system for Linux, I think, is more because Microsoft and big companies want to have Linux and Windows, and then it kind of makes sense to allow them to run some of the Linux programs in Windows like that. It's not really aimed at home users, although home users could potentially use it as well.
Yeah, I don't know since how it's on the road, but now you can have your graphical interface inside Windows. It's really welcoming news, I think, for the world of Linux and how deeply they are integrated now.
But there's also virtual machines as well, where you can do VirtualBox or something and have an actual Windows or Linux or whatever inside your operating system, and that, for the most part, will actually work like it was installed on real hardware.
Well, the Windows subsystem also I believe it probably requires a pro-level Windows license.
No. I got installed on Windows 10 Home or whatever. Yeah.
It's free for everyone. I tested it this evening, and it's working really fine. You can download. It's Ubuntu. I downloaded Ubuntu. It took 5 seconds.
The terminal and I think there might be some graphical support in the later version, but really to get the proper experience you need to, and that including the same with virtual machines, you could have a virtual machine inside Windows and it would, you know, mostly work for the Linux things, well, not everything, but really to get a proper Linux experience, you need to install it properly on a computer, and really Windows is not particularly good. I mean, they've improved it in Windows 11. I haven't used Windows 11 just yet, but I believe that's improved a bit here and there. But really, Windows is not a particularly good operating system. It crashes. You need to reboot after updates. There can be viruses, etc. Linux distributions are designed to be more secure. The security is not a bolt-on. It's designed by very passionate people. Linux is just better. But it does not dominate the desktop, because the normal computer, because most people don't understand tech enough.
Well, the problem, even if we look at Windows 10 or 11 as an operating system, it is the amount of telemetry that is baked into the system, the amount of data, root level data access that you give Microsoft by running a Windows license.
Well, yeah,
it's incredible.
Well, yeah, I believe that's probably true. And also, if you read the actual license of Windows, or try to, I've done it. All Microsoft Office, for that matter, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, you know, it's all about, you can't do this, you can't do that, you cannot do that, you must not do that, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you can't do that, you can't trade the code, you can't get into code, you can't trade the phone with your neighbour, you can't do this, you can't do that. Whereas obviously if you read a license of a GPL program, on the other hand, general public license, or it's probably the BSD license saying that as well, but not to quite the same extent, but you know, it's all about, yes, you can do that, you can use a program, yes, you can share this with your neighbour, yes, you're allowed, it's all about freedom. And if people knew that or read licenses and actually got it, but of course most people click accept and that's it. I don't know if anybody's seen South Park, but there's a very funny episode, well, if you know South Park, they do like extreme humor. It's extreme humor. there's one where they've done Apple and they've accepted the license, and then that episode, it's just like, well, okay, that's what you've accepted, is it?
Well, also in America, we have allegedly the HIPAA Act, which is supposed to keep all of your patient data secure, but if this stuff is running on a Windows system,
I know. Same problem same thing in the UK. We've got an NHS, National Health Service. There's, you know, medical reports and things like that, and they use Windows, yeah. And the banks as well. The banks are using Windows as well, and it's like
NHS just upgraded from XP. They were using XP until last year.
Some of the computers were XP still, and also there was a what was it? Shell shock? Not shell shock. There was a security issue a few years back with like botnet or something, or ransomware attack, and the NHS were like more of the organizations to be mostly hit by it because they were still running XP and stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, well, my library was doing a lot of that for whatever. Also, heck, you look at YouTube today, and all over it, there's ways, they're telling people ways of running XP and Windows 2000 at the current time.
Yeah, but that's just to get clicks and whatever else, you know? I mean, it's the people that do that, they're doing it on, like, weird devices. And I don't know. Half that YouTube stuff is garbage. It's like, hey, I'm going to run Windows XP or Windows 95 on this calculator or something.
Well,
Internet Explorer,
under some under some condition, if you're doing retro games or something, and you're going to do things strictly in-house.
I read that Internet Explorer is going to die on the 14th of February, 2023, and then that's it. It's gone. It's just going to be Edge, and it's completely gone.
Well, for me, it died December 5th of last year. It was my last day at working where I did retired my... And they still ran, in the bank I worked for, they still ran Internet Explorer as a deep... Because they had archaic servers that only worked in that. You couldn't use another browser unless somehow you could emulate to it. And sometimes you can do it with a Chrome plugin. You still need Internet Explorer and stuff.
Well, I last time I was in the hospital, I saw a lot of XP login screen, stuff like that.
I saw one, I think, at the bus stop or some sort of Windows by mistake on the way it says the bus, when the bus is supposed to be coming. And I was like, hey, that was a Windows Snap menu at the top of the screen. That was like a month ago.
Yeah, it's really funny when your bus or your train or what have you have to reboot the Windows.
Yeah. It's like they use the worst operating system. Well, generally speaking, and I think most of the tech people would agree with this, actually. at least all the Linux-type tech people and so on, you know. They use Windows to store some of the most, data that's supposed to be secure, and it's like, why are you using the worst operating system to do this? The most insecure, the most targeted.
For users, okay, I got in an argument with this at OggCamp one year with somebody. I don't mind Windows.
You've been at OggCamp.
And it did all this stuff. I just don't use it myself.
Wait a minute. Sorry. You said you've been to OggCamp?
Multiple times.
Where are you from?
I'm from New York originally, but I live in Jacksonville, Florida.
I wonder if I've met you then, because there was at least
I'm
one American.
I'm usually the only American there.
I've met you in person then. Yeah.
Who are you? I've met so many people there.
There was at least one American guy, or maybe two.
It
was me. It must have been you. Yeah. So you're the chef.
I'm always wearing a crew shirt. So I'm always working crew because I'm an idiot. I travel overseas.
Oh, you won the crew as well.
Yes, I always work crew.
I remember going up. I remember in Sheffield at the end. Remember it was in that university campus, and you could go out on the balcony up on the third floor. And I went up with you, I believe.
No, I wasn't at Sheffield. That was the one I missed.
That was in 2016, American guy. I think it was with an American guy.
It might have been NY Bill sometimes.
Yeah, I think there's two American guys then if you're one of them. But yeah, I don't know if OggCamp's going to be on in 2023. I mean, it might be. But I think they're looking for
the last two they were trying to put in Scotland. I was on the panel for that.
Well, 2020.
I always go to Scotland first before I head
2020
to like,
was going
to
be
Manchester.
2020 was going to be Edinburgh, but obviously that didn't happen because of the COVID pandemic. Yeah.
We were trying to do even a virtual one, but it failed.
Fosdem had virtual Fosdem, and their setup was quite impressive, mostly run by free software, but. Virtual Fosdem compared to real Fosdem is just not good, you know.
Well, but when you're stuck at home,
well, that's better than nothing at all, I suppose. Yeah.
Because I went to PenguCon, I went to MozFest, and that was all virtual. I sat right here, and actually, technically, some of it I was supposed to be working, but you know, I worked remote for like 7 years, so I didn't really give a crap. And I said,
did you get to anything else like Freenode Live when that was on?
No, I haven't been to Freenode Live.
That only happened twice, and that will never happen ever again, because obviously Freenode's collapsed since.
I just know a lot of people at OggCamp, and they were pushing me for about 2 years to go, because I was always in the IRC channels, and then the, some other stuff, but I mean, Dan and a few other people pushed me to go, and I ended up going. Pete Cannon, hanging out with Dan and Fab and stuff.
And Popey.
I mean, I know Popey, but it's like weird. It's like you follow him online and he like ignores you. Like, whatever.
No, I remember the first
time. He's too important online, but in person, he's like, hey, let's go have a beer. I'm like, yeah, you can follow me back on Mastodon if you want.
Yeah, I remember when I met him the first time. time in person at Old Camp, and it was like, yeah. and there were people like Martin Wimpress, yeah?
Well, that's why I always tell people, like, in here, I said, look, if you follow me or Tech and Coffee now, I'll follow you back. But half the time I don't know the people, so just tell me who you are. Then I'll follow you back, because, you know, unless I see it. I have the worst memory, too. I have PTSD, so I forget things. I mean, I literally forget things.
I got bad facial recognition, it seems. I remember in Liverpool one of the years, I think it was, actually, I was going to go back with someone to the hotel. I wasn't bang on sure where I was, and I ended up following the wrong person back, caught up with them, and it was like, oh, no, they're not even with us. I think they're not even with us in the conference. Whoops, oh, well. Like you taxi or walk or, it's annoying. But people generally remember me saying that.
Yeah, I usually have glasses and dirty blonde hair, usually.
Yeah, people remember me, usually. Anywhere, public speaking group, whatever, just I'm remembered. not by everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I found interesting on YouTube is somebody had made a server distro that was designed to run to host older versions of Windows, older versions of Mac OS, and random stuff like that. And half of their documentation was warning people not to use it, that it was designed for retro computing. It was not designed for anything requiring security. Because everything was configured open for the more primitive versions of.
So can I just, sorry, can I just interrupt for a second? So the next time zone is actually my time zone, because I'm in the UK. So that's Brexit land, I'm going to call it, because, yeah, Britain, Iceland as well, yeah, the Canary Islands that belong to Spain. And also Portugal, actually. For some reason it's in our time zone, and there could be some other place somewhere that I'm not sure about. However, that also means that I'm going to get the TV on and at least watch the Big Ben London fireworks that are about to happen. So I'll be back here in around 15-20 minutes or so, I guess. But yeah, Happy New Year to me, my country. Woo!
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Edinburgh will be doing fireworks too in London, and maybe Cardiff, I don't know. Because we're talking about Edinburgh, yeah, that's why I'd say that.
Well, they're doing it here too.
Yeah, there's always somebody who does it early as well, like, hey, it's not midnight yet, don't do it 3 minutes too, come on. Or some do it an hour early, actually, possibly.
Matthew, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I sent you a message.
My mother just woke me up to say to wish me Happy New Year.
He's in 2023. So far, there's a world. It's not been nuked or anything, but who knows?
Are you
what?
You're not yet in 2023.
But who knows with some of the things that are going on at the moment with, you know, wars and stuff.
I don't have to worry about nukes too much. I live in the Boston area.
No, I think Russia can blow Boston up as well if they feel like it. So you're not safe.
What?
No. Where in Boston? My wife was from Lowell.
I'm south of the city, south of Quincy.
Oh, I know the area because, trust me, I had to be there all the time. I mean, even though her family lived in California and they moved at 6, I still went back a lot for their people, you know, so I don't even know who they are.
Well, I have heard that the Boston City Hall is an aim point for Russian bombs and missiles. People who look at the Boston City Hall architecturally agree that it should be bombed. It's one of the ugliest buildings architecturally that I know about. Now, they would like them to use a rather smaller bomb than they're liable to use on Boston, but they would certainly, there are a lot of people that wouldn't mind if the City Hall was rubbled, just as long as there wasn't too much collateral damage.
I've been there. I mean, I know Boston. I know Philly pretty well. I mean, I'm originally from Poughkeepsie, if you know where that is. But I've lived all over. I've lived all over the country.
I don't know New York very well. I mean, when we were headed to West Virginia, we would go up 84 and we'd be up Peekskill, Fishkill area, crossing Hudson.
Oh, Fishkill is right next to Poughkeepsie. I mean, it's 25 minutes away.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, my dad was up there with IBM.
I worked in the East Fishkill plant. So if you know that area, I worked in the East Fishkill plant at third shift.
I don't, but he was part of Raytheon's, was somehow coordinating with IBM when they were doing their first silicon wafer-based discrete integrated circuits. Instead of stuff being etched on like we're used to with modern chips, they would actually lay down metal substrates, and then on top of that, they would put microscopic transistors, resistors, and everything. It was what they called hybrid integrated circuits. It was rather a shock to see them in a book on the 360 machines. I had seen those little square wafers all over the dresser where my dad emptied his pockets, and he even had a tie clip with one of them on it. But seeing them in a book on IBM systems. Also, I've got another things go round and round. IBM had a system called the 650. The main memory was a drum, and every instruction also had the address of the next instruction because the drum would rotate, and ideally you would want the next instruction to come up after you would, the processor had finished the one that you were having it do. The interesting thing is the kind of interleaving that they had to do on that drum computer is the same kind of interleaving that they had to do to optimize some of the RISC machines so that the processor could execute instructions one after the other and then have them out of order but have the results ready when they were needed. So the most advanced silicon processors of, well, fairly current time use the same kind of instruction shuffling that was used for the drum machines.
Oh, that's kind of...
Yeah, I've got to take a short intermission here, and I've got another drum story for you.
Okay, take your time. I'm cleaning because I'm OCD. Matthew, did you sing it? Because I didn't want to broadcast.
Oh, it was interesting stuff.
I just wanted to know how she was.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I don't know. I'm cleaning. I don't know how happy it is. Like, usually don't celebrate any of the holidays. My OCD Max clean. Thinking about throwing in from Three Stooges. I found all these upstairs. It's 3 minutes to New Year's in the UK.
And a whole bunch of servers around the world that have their time configured for UTC.
Doesn't Linux keep the onboard clock UTC and then translate?
Yeah, that's right. Epic, well, Unix Epic time?
Well, whatever, but I'm just saying your real-time clock is set UTC and then they convert, I think. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but...
I think it depends system to system, but if you're talking about Unix Epic time, number of seconds since 1970, I think that's in UTC is the time zone for that.
Either way, in less than a minute, it's going to be midnight.
I think we hit that one a little early, just a little while ago.
Happy New Year's in the UK, Canary Island, or wherever else.
Well, Burroughs Corporation had this great idea for fast storage. They had a 6-foot-long drum spinning at 880 RPM with a whole bunch of read-write heads along its length. And because the heads were on one band around the drum, reading data could be done very fast because there was no head movement. They would just read one ring of data or a segment of a ring of data and whatnot, and then just electronically switch between them. These things were a great idea, except they had a little problem. First, they literally weighed a ton. And the second thing is that the gyroscopic forces of running a ton of very fast rotating metal tended to walk these drums across your computer room floor. However, in the second generation, they fixed the problem. They put two drums together, had one of them spinning clockwise and the other one spinning counterclockwise, so that the gyroscopic forces canceled each other out. Of course, that also meant that these things weighed 2 tons instead of 1 ton. But, you know, at least it wasn't trying to tear up the place. The American military had some exciting adventures when they tried to put one of these first-generation drums in the back of a truck while it was operating. And the truck was driving down the road with its huge gyroscope in the back. It didn't work out very well. And they also, the Navy tried it on shipboard, but the gyroscopic forces were not healthy for navigation either. Eventually, so-called drum memory was done with discs with a row of heads across the platter, so that they had similar, they lacked seek time, but they also lacked the tremendous gyroscopic forces of a big drum. Also, a military computer was donated to UMass Boston. It was probably a great machine. I know that the cabinet was bulletproof, probably literally. There was one small problem. The cabinet had been made for security by Knoesler, the safe company. And as far as I know, nobody cracked the safe to get into this obsolete military computer. Trying to figure out what?
How late I want it, my time. I'm not really tired, but I have this feeling. How late are you staying?
As late as I can do it with minimal chemical assistance.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, no, I mean, I was like, are you going to do the full 26? I know I've been in here on and off since 5 a.m. Well, actually, technically, I've been in since 5 a.m. Stop. I just kept changing kind of almost seamlessly other than...
Well, I've been up since before 4 a.m. Eastern.
Dang, that's the time I usually get. I get up around 4:30. I get out the door.
Well, I've been... When I get focused on stuff, I get distracted. And I was doing my usual YouTube stuff, although I've been trying to cut down on my YouTube channels.
I reserve YouTube for pretty much half a day a week, usually Sundays mornings, and then by noon I stop you. Because if I don't, I'm just going to do it all day. I'll just keep doing YouTube. So I just minimize my YouTube for then, because I'll fall asleep watching YouTube and I won't even know what I watched. And then it'll go into some weird... I watch a lot of repair videos because I repair cameras and I repair old radios and stuff. So I watch those guys. That's kind of like porn to me. So I'll watch those half the night. And then I wake up and I'm in the middle of, like, I don't know, Mr. Carlson's 3-hour video on him repairing an old radio. Like, how did this happen? If you haven't watched
the guy,
strangely
enough, I know exactly how that goes, except I don't let autoplay happen.
You name it, I probably watched a repair video. I probably subscribed to him, repair videos for any radio or any electronic, some cameras. I follow mostly photographers, Ed Pavaz in New York and stuff like that. So should I do a beer or not? I'll do beer or...
Whiskey.
I do have whiskey, and I brought it back to Scotland. You know what? Whiskey. You said whiskey? I'm going to go upstairs and grab a bottle of whiskey.
Good.
So, gentlemen, I will leave you. I wish you
Okay, Matt, are you
happy
going to sleep
year.
Now?
Yeah, I'm going, happy I'm New going to happy bed. New it's year, 1 bro. O'clock.
Okay,
it's 1 o'clock. I'm tired.
Okay, in about 2 or 3 hours, I'll come by and nudge you and wake you up, okay, so we can go for a walk.
Okay, I'll be
Thank
working
you, sir.
In a few
happy
hours.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
Happy
Year
New
once
Year,
again.
Matt.
Thanks for everything, and enjoy your time.
Thank you for coming in, Matt. I mean, it took a little while for me to coax you to come in. You know.
I didn't want to at first, but...
He came in kicking and screaming, almost literally.
So, Happy New Year once again, and goodbye.
Goodbye, Matt. You have a good night. I'll talk to you tomorrow sometime.
Okay.
Okay, I got an open bottle of Chivas. No, I did not get the Chivas overseas. That would be... The two bottles I bought overseas that are left here, they're still sealed, and I'm going to keep it that way because they sell the British seals on them. You can't get them here in the States, so we're just going to do a bottle of... Wait again. I got, what is it, Three Monkeys, and I got Chivas. Which one?
Three Monkeys. I have a bottle of Screwball here.
I've been deleting channels left and right. My channel count is not going down. I think there's a little problem with
well,
YouTube.
I mean, I don't delete channels. I just don't watch as many. And I took a lot of them off. I don't like to join the chat because I actually have a verified channel. So that usually brings up stir and stuff. Last time I joined there was a Linux show. What is it? The Coffee Clatch or something. Pete got me to join that. And as soon as I joined, I start talking to like, there's a verified person in here. I'm like, yeah, only because Google has made me like some sort of ambassador.
All the coffee and tech guys.
Yep, that's us. Literally, I think half of our admins back in the day got check marks because we were always in meetings with Google.
Well, the stuff that I found interesting is like how FTP works, passive and active, and I'm just going through a ton of stuff.
I do also have some cheapo champagne here, too. All right, whiskey. Now I have to find a whiskey, and I have to drink it like with a little bit of temper. Who knew I was drinking it raw all the years before I went to sleep?
The Scotsman watching you hold that damn, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I got learned overseas multiple times. Oh, and also, do not call it Scotch in Scotland; they will laugh at you. It is Scottish whiskey or just whiskey. I do have a whiskey. Cheers, everyone.
Well, thank you, because my pills do not like alcoholic beverages. I haven't had alcohol in, God, it's got to be decades now.
I'm always in moderation. On weekends, since pandemic beginning, on weekends I'd go down to, because I live really close, and I don't, 4 miles, not really close, but 4 miles from the beach. And we'd go down to the beach's bars, and they love to drink. I like drink. I like a whiskey, but I don't like to be intoxicated. So I'll drink, and then I'll disappear. There's usually a coffee shop or most of the bartenders know to make me a faux drink, like cranberry juice. So half the time they don't know.
I do my YouTube because I don't have any TV or anything.
Hello from 2023. The world is...
What's the future look like?
It's a little bit too early to tell, but I wonder with I was reading about this ship that Putin has, he's going to put near Britain with loads of nuclear bombs to show he could do something. So I'm a bit worried about that, if it's going to happen. But other than that, yes, it's so far it's okay. We have electricity still. We have the internet. We have TV. Well, not Netminder, apparently. But, everyone else.
Well, it's not... His shitload of bombs.
Although the internet's kind of weird, isn't it? Because how it can like go to the past as well. You can communicate to the past, like I'm doing right now. Hello, 2022.
Yes, some of us are stuck in 2022.
Mm. It's like split between. Honestly, this like watched the London firework thing. I had like 3 channels to watch it on, and I was like, right, BBC One. What got me was they were doing this Sam Ryder. Anyone who knows who Sam Ryder is? Maybe not if you're American. What?
Not a clue. Even though I go over there all the time.
Well, you know, have you ever had a Eurovision?
Unfortunately, no, actually Eurovision's not bad. So yes, I have heard of Eurovision.
You have, okay. He won he was second place in the 2022 May one. Ukraine won first place, not surprise, as in that sarcasm. I mean, some of it's politics and some of it's actual music votes. But obviously, because the war is going on, they're not going to have Eurovision in Ukraine in 2023. It's going to be in Liverpool again instead. Because Britain, for some reason, became second place. Even though with Sam Ryder doing a song, and I didn't like that song, and even though Britain is traditionally hated by Europe, or so they say on these things, and so they were doing his like a show with him, and I was like, oh, Sam Ryder, I don't watch this. He was in my local city the other week as well, for a bit, because he decided to go there. And then I watched the fireworks display, and I just thought, this is... It doesn't look so good this year. ITV, oh, they're showing a house. Sky Showcase, oh, they're showing... Nah, this didn't look very good this year on TV. Apparently there were like 12,000 fireworks, though, actually getting set off in London. So in person, it probably was quite good. Imagine that, 12,000 fireworks being set alight. I think it said 12,000.
PSP going off pretty bad. They're going off here all the time because I'm in this.
Yeah, but I think they said in London they had 12,000 fireworks to light up. Yeah,
that's insane. That's insane.
That is a lot of fireworks, isn't it?
Well, on the 4th of July, Boston has not only the Boston Pops, but we have a couple of 105 howitzers for the 1812 Overture. Yep, we're one of the few orchestras with a concussion section. And right now, New England is doing its best to emulate Old England. Humidity is now hot.
What, the state? You mean New England, the state, yeah?
Well, yeah, the north and east states of the United States are getting rinsed fairly heavily.
Did you say rich? What?
Rinsed, washed down fairly heavily.
Oh.
But then again, as I say, at least we're not shoveling it.
Well, who said they were emulating England? What are you saying? They're going to be like England.
Rainy, dark, and wet. Not too cold. It's 53 degrees. I don't have...
You mean Fahrenheit, right, don't you? 53 degrees. If that was OC, but like plus degrees, that would be very, very hot. Or if it was the other way, that would be like... Well, you'd die in that aspect. It would be so cold.
Well, there is one interesting temperature, negative 42 degrees.
Yeah, Fahrenheit or C, because we've got... Americans have this Fahrenheit thing, and we do C. I think everyone else has C. OC.
Yeah, well, negative 42 is negative 42.
Yeah. Anyway, it'll be very cold or very hot, I guess. So.
Well, also, I suspect it's Douglas Adams' favorite temperature.
Ah! Literary reference for three.
I have to talk somebody else through.
I feel like this year, this show, Forrest, it's like, it just feels like we're lacking someone. Do you know what I mean? Or more, maybe not just someone, but a few people even.
Like, where's Dan and Joel? They should be on here.
Yeah, whoever they are. I just know there's been like loads of people, like more than us, chatting all at once before.
Oh. It goes through this, slows down, picks back up, slows down, picks back up. It's just this year it's mostly been a lot of the same guys all day long.
Yeah.
I resemble that remark.
Maybe we didn't do enough to advertise or something. See if I can get my uncle to join us.
Well, maybe because it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
I said that earlier in that mind, but I said, yeah, but if it's the weekend, what does it matter? Surely it's a better time to do it, isn't it? Or is it not because people have
drinking time off
work in the week if it's on in the week, huh?
Well, around here, a lot of people are working Monday through Friday, and when they need to stock up on their groceries or get the kids new clothes for going back to school after the holiday or what have you, that is what fills the stores on Saturday. Around here on Sunday, there are what they call blue laws, which tend to shut shit stuff down, and everybody is at home, or they go to church or something.
Yeah, well, in England, we have this stupid, I say stupid because I want to be able to food shop on a Sunday if I feel like it, and at a later time. So what they did, what it's been like this for a long time, but... They close all the big supermarkets. Well, they can be open from like 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then they close. And normally they'd be open until the later evening, like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever. So the smaller little convenient shops can stay open, but a lot of shops will close at 4 o'clock, which is annoying.
Yeah, and that means that a lot of people will shop on Saturday when... The stores are open.
Yeah, so Saturday they might close slightly earlier as well, depending on what shop it is. So it's like really.
But they're liable to be open at maybe 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning. So you have from like 9 to 4 or nine to whatever, you know, more like a normal day, not into the evening, but still everybody's not rushing into.
Church and things like that. Well, why we have something called a census in the UK, which comes out every sort of, I think it's every 10 years or so. And there was one done about 2 years ago. It's basically you have to, I think you have to fill it in by law, really, as well. It's just some basic questions the government wants to know about the population and things like that. And I had to do it last time, and as it was done, and you can put, yeah, I think you can actually get fined for not doing it. And I was like, really? It came, and I saw a report saying that apparently 75% of people in Britain have basically said, because on the, you can say on a lot of things before you go, like British Christian, or like what's your ethnicity, what's your religion, what are you, and you know, a lot in the past, a lot of people go British Christian or white Brit or white British and things like that. But I read an article saying that lots of people are now, 75% of people have basically said on the census that they are not Christian, they're not British Christian, yeah? And so the article's talking about, well, in that case, if religion is mostly dying out or not as popular, should the church have such a hold on the country? Because there's a lot of churches around, and there's a Church of England as well with what little power it's got left and things, and it's like, but I think it's kind of true. I think a lot of people are not religious now. That's in Britain, but elsewhere, probably America as well. I think religion has died out a bit in these kind of countries. I think Christmas is a commercial holiday for the most part.
Well, it's always been a commercial holiday.
Well, yeah, unless you go to a church and actually sit down in a church or something, yeah? Otherwise, it's very much buy this, buy that, buy this, isn't it?
Well, the problem is not the number of believers you have. It's the connections that the deacons and pastors and priests and bishops and what the churches tend to be top-heavy in clout. So the average Joe might want to go do shopping, but his parish bishop or what have you will have the ear of some politician saying, we have to keep the Sabbath holy for...
Make sure these people got nothing else to do except show up at my church.
And fill my collection plate. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, they don't mention the last part. It's just implied.
By the way, there was an interesting analysis of British Navy, World War I, and post-war. They found that the British Navy fought World War I with lots less admirals per ship for the number of ships that they were actually sending out in combat. After the war, they got rid of a lot of ships, but they didn't get rid of a lot of admirals. And somebody said that there would be, somebody had calculated how many admirals the British Navy would still have even if they had no ships.
Yeah, World War One, it's like, well, it's 2023 now, depending on where people are, but in other words, it's even further ago now. It's like, you know, it's another year. It's coming more and more back in time. Plus in the Britain, actually, they're mostly focused on World War II in the schools and stuff. So World War One was always a bit more quiet for some reason. But they would be telling, you know, be teaching about Hitler and World War II and things in the schools, yeah.
I had the honor, and I didn't realize how much of an honor it was. It was the father of a friend of my father's wife was an anti-aircraft gunner in World War One. I had the honor when I was younger of meeting this gentleman.
Someone said that they were 70. Was that you earlier?
How old are you, Nick?
No, I'm getting up to, I'm over 60.
That doesn't tell us the real age, though.
Well, I'm soon to be 65.
Okay, 70. Somebody said they were 70 or they had a 7 in front of their age. I guess not you, but yeah, so yeah, World War II. 65.
Actually, what was even more interesting was...
I think younger people will talk about World War I and II less for obvious kind of reasons, but... Yeah.
Well, also, I was raised in a combative household. I often sympathized with the people of France. You know, just sitting there.
Apparently, Britain set France free, actually, in one of those wars.
Yeah, well, I'm aware, both American. But the deal is that with my parents fighting over my head, it was like, you know, it was easy to feel like an occupied country because there would be shelling from both sides. But also, I was raised in the 60s as a 50s kid. Very Leave It to Beaver. Short hair, sports shirt, slacks, polished shoes, when everybody else had long hair, jeans, t-shirts. I also found out that you could do your own thing as long as it looked like the same own thing that the guy to your left and the girl in front of you and the one on your right was doing. Being raised as a 50s kid during the 60s or 50s or perhaps
well, I wasn't even earlier. I wasn't even born just yet.
Well, kids today don't appreciate things.
Well, yeah.
When my grandfather died in sometime in the mid 60s, my grandmother's house didn't change virtually anything.
When you said. I was just thinking, right, kids today don't appreciate things, and I'm kind of changing the subject now if I do this, but I was thinking with COVID as well, how all the restaurants and everything fun was closed, and people had to suffer, yet people were breaking lockdown, bringing their friends over, blah, blah, blah. Now it's all pretty much back to normal, but that kind of got me to appreciate what was really out there a bit as well, like... Yes, I live by a city. Yes, there's pubs around, but having it shut was like, wow, okay.
Well, the interesting thing in America is how random stuff was.
With what?
Some places had lockdown, some places were wide open, some places had masks, some places
did.
And, like New York City, there were tremendous amounts of quite complex regulation evasion system. In the winter time, they put outside shacks which both didn't have good sanitation and didn't have good ventilation, so your dinner parties went into these cubicles that might as well have been a train compartment, which meant that if anyone had a disease, it was pretty much sure that it would be passed around inside the safety bubble that they were forced to use because you couldn't go into the restaurant itself, where they might actually have staff to wipe stuff down and to spray stuff down. But outdoors, in these little bubbles in the street.
Wait, bang, bubbles with your family members, or friends.
But, well, they would be family members, but the thing is that they would be reduced capacity.
They did that here as well. The rule of six and things. You could be out with like five people. Something might be down a bit more, but like you mix with maybe four people from a different household or something.
Well,
bubbles of things. Didn't really work so well.
The thing about it is that if you're someone who has symptoms, and again, people were eating, so their mask was going up and down like a window shade.
Well, you take the masks off when we're eating. But yeah,
you take the mask off while eating.
But the deal is that since you had reduced capacity, people, once you were done eating, they would clear the table
and not spray the chair or something. Is that what you're going to say?
Not sanitize
anything because there'd be a horde of people willing to take any seat that was empty.
Yes. Some places probably did not follow it properly, the rules around, even if... But even that, like you've got, you know, like Subway. I've got one round, that's an American sandwich chain, I'm sure you know what Subway is. I've got one round the corner, like literally 2 minutes walk away from where I live, pretty much. And then suddenly they were like, right, there's a lockdown. I was like, okay, the Domino's pizza up the road, that can stay open, but only for takeaway, for delivery. And the Subway was shut for a bit, and the McDonald's was even shut for a bit as I was figuring out what to do with COVID and social distancing. But I remember when it was like, you're not allowed to sit in and eat
in a place like Subway or Takeaway or a restaurant. I was like, really? And that was a few months of that. And it was like, I can go and get a Subway, I can't sit and eat in there. I used to sit and eat in there at times. And then when that eased down, it was one of the things I celebrated. It was like getting freedom back. Just something as basic as sitting in a Subway and eating a sandwich, yeah?
Well, also, you couldn't sit down and eat inside where you were protected from weather and cold and things that would possibly accelerate any disease.
Yeah. I did that with the pubs to begin with. Eating inside is not allowed, or drinking inside. You can be in the cold in April outside and test the weather and the rain and the whatever weather might come in April. But inside will not happen until about June. And then they had a roadmap here, and they were like, right, these are the roadmaps, blah, 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 that's stage 1, 2, 3. They had to go back on the stage 4, which was basically getting rid of lockdown for the most part. They had to actually revert that by 5 weeks, and it was like, oh, geez. And I had a calendar as well, and I was putting down some of the lockdown easing stuff, and my mum saw it, and she was like, why you put all this down when there's nothing down? And I was like, no, it's about lockdown and the things that are going on. And you just hope that we're going to get to stage 4, let's get rid of lockdown. It was a weird time. Every country had its own, or most countries had their own version of lockdown. I think on a global basis, it was mostly similar. From say America and the UK and Canada and places like that. China would be a lot more strict. Australia was very strict. China's only just recently opening up again because they got the blame for COVID. And Australia had a no COVID policy, so they were even blocking the border with New Zealand. Normally the people from New Zealand can come over to Australia no problem, pretty much. But they were like, nope, we're not having COVID. They closed their border. Sweden didn't lock down. I think that was the only country in Europe that didn't actually lock down. And they got some flack for that. And I think they admitted that, okay, the deaths were a bit higher than they could have been maybe. But they carried on pretty much as normal otherwise. Whereas every other country in Europe had locked down, basically.
Well, in America, it was pretty random depending on your
state, city, county,
population density, the number of deaths.
Whether or not your mayor had his head up his ass.
Also, my brother and his wife had bouts of COVID. They were living in a tractor trailer. There was no way that they could actually isolate.
It was
effectively.
Yeah. And then as things eased down in England as well, what they did is they decided we're gonna have a tier system, and it was based on the county. So I'm in a place where I have a city, like the actual real city is basically I can walk there, I can walk down that way, 10-minute, 15-minute walk, or I can go down the hill and go that way. In the 1990s, all joined together with the same big, massive county, but now it's split up into like three different counties, basically. And then in this tier system, suddenly it was like, hey, where I am is going to be tier 3, but the city is tier 2. And it was like, what? Well, they were tier 3, but then they changed to tier 2. And it was to do with partly on where the hospital is. So it's like, oh, you don't have a hospital, you have to go into the city. What's your COVID death rate and infection rate? And it was also, and that was partly it. And I had to do this tier. And I was like, I'm tier 3, so my pub around the corner and the pubs here have to be shut. But yet the pub's about 20-minute walk away, they can be opened. And it was just a bit crazy, really. Also, I noticed a love bug has appeared in here, and he is also in Britain, so I wonder if he could say about his tier system, maybe, because we were on Matt Cobert, if you can hear us, the love bug, if you can hear me.
He probably doesn't know how to use his computer.
I don't know. He's a podcaster, isn't he?
That's because you probably mapped it wrong key.
Well, he did.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Go to configure, go to settings, go about four things down to where it was, I forgot what the thing is, and just make sure the key isn't something that you know.
Oh, yes, it will.
If you're using Mumble 1.341, go to configure, go to settings, go to shortcut, choose the shortcut.
I said earlier that people were missing. This is an example. This guy, he is an example of the people we were missing earlier.
Now I've added Glenn in here. He's well, and I see Sporif. I love you, Sporif. Happy New Year.
Hello, all.
Hello.
Hello.
It's too messy.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you something. We were on YouTube. Somebody had a problem with this very fundamentalist righteous family. Well, what they did was they looked in their telephone directory or what have you and found all of the local churches, including the Buddhist and Muslim and the more obscure sects. And one of the sects that they were particularly generous with was the Church of Satan. So this very pious family suddenly found their mailbox filled with stuff from all kinds of, shall we say, alternate religion. And of course, the letter carriers and everybody else eventually found out that these people had been generous because as donating to these various exotic religions, the exotic religions would send thank you notes, and they would be carried by the local postman who, you know, he tended to carry the mail and carry tales as well. So this family really got it on the chin. It was non-violent but effective erection.
So I want to introduce Proteus.
Of course, want to introduce me while I'm eating a sandwich.
Of course. I mean, like, I can see.
And Glenn, is there another time to do an introduction? You're not eating.
Oh, yeah, my God! We threw you under a bus again.
Shut up, Kieran.
Hi.
As you can see, we all know each other and love each other.
Yes, I did not eat all day long. My blood sugar dropped really low. So, yes, there has been a time when I wasn't eating.
Kieran, you need to go hug him now, okay? You should feel bad.
No, I don't want a hug. Nope. Mm-mm. Not going
to
happen.
Wait for his blood sugar to come back up. He'll be fine. I want to hug him.
So, actually, what I've got to do is go out and get some ice water. Otherwise, I tend to be falling down sober, which is quite unpleasant.
He's saying he needs to take his pills.
Don't worry.
I'm going to have to hold off on my pills tonight. I have a little bit. I have a little bit of whiskey waiting for me for tonight.
I'm drinking some now because Joe or somebody told me.
Yeah, I recommended it, yes.
Yeah, you did, Joe. Whiskey. I said beer or water, and you went whiskey.
Why be a bitch?
Oh. Oh.
Shots fired.
I hope you're drinking it straight. Maybe with a bit of ice.
I'm drinking it with a little bit of water, like the Scott's Splash.
No, I have to work in the morning, so I end up having to chase it down with, like, Powerade or something like that. I can get dehydrated while rehydrating.
I mean, I've told this story on Tech Coffee before, but I remember I was in Japan, and I went to a rare whiskey bar in Nishi-Shinjuku, and I was pretty new to whiskey. I'd drunk whiskey, but I was a student at the time, so I drank terrible, crappy whiskey. And I went to this whiskey bar, and I said to the guy behind the bar, I was like, hey, you know, can you give me some recommendations on what I should try? And the guy's like, he's like, oh, I can try. My English isn't very good, whatever, but yeah, sure. And I said, okay, so what do you recommend? He's like, well, do you prefer blended whiskies or do you prefer single malts? And I'm like, I think I prefer single malts because I've never really liked scotch and I'm always getting blended scotch. He's like, okay, do you prefer sort of a clean taste or do you prefer peaty? And I'm like, peaty. Ask me a bunch of questions. And eventually he picks one for me and then he looks at me and says, do you want it neat or on the rocks? And I said, well, how do you recommend this one? And he looks at me and goes, well, I can't tell from your accent. Are you English or American? I said, well, I'm English. And he went, ah, you drink it neat then. On the rocks is for pussy Americans.
What? He doesn't use stones?
Doesn't use anything. Ain't got no stones.
An interesting component of whiskey production is that they lose a certain amount of the whiskey when they age it in the barrels.
Sure they do.
This is called the Angel's Share.
Everybody wants to say, you know, stuff about cheap alcohol, but there's nothing like a cheap vodka. I mean, a nice flavorful McCormick's as opposed to
How about a Russian vodka? Because they were trying to ban that in the UK because of the war, yeah?
Oh, no, I just like a good flavorful vodka, and you don't get that with, like, Grey Goose. I mean, Grey Goose doesn't have a flavor, but, you know, McCormick's does.
When you say there's nothing like a cheap vodka, I object. Paint thinner exists.
Okay.
Exactly. I was going to say rubbing alcohol, but sure, yeah.
You guys don't like McCormick's?
I'm blind.
No.
What, a woman
if,
on...
if you want something with a truly unique taste, you need to try to find yourself some Great Wall Chinese vodka.
I had some... Oh, gosh, what was it? I had some Captain Jack once, and I think it was 2000. That stuff is whiskey, sort of. And, yes, it fit in the cheap category. But it was a great way to, you know, walk around South Korea and get drunk.
We have another time zone coming up. UTC minus one now. Just trying to figure out what that was, but I'm not sure if this is correct. But it could be the Gambia, Senegal. I mean, it could be based in Africa, yeah. Maybe Greenland as well, like I think it was saying. Well, wherever it is, happy new year to them in about 3 minutes, yeah.
Granted, I don't drink a whole lot anymore.
Actually, if you want cheap vodka, now you'll have to add your own, like Kirskova.
Mm.
But you can usually get it for about... It's really good. I mean, on its own, because I kind of like it.
Well, yes, absolutely.
If you wanted to add like lemon juice or something to it to make it like taste like some fancy vodka.
Why would you want to do that? Just drink it straight. Well, it's meant to be drank.
Yeah,
There is some nice stuff, chocolate vodka anyway. And stuff.
See, now you're making it fancy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I accidentally drank a 750 one night, and I can't drink chocolate vodka.
I do.
Which chocolate vodka is any good?
I don't really drink vodka. I drink Fetcher's Gold, and there might be one other person in this podcast who actually knows what I'm talking about if he's still here. Fetcher's Gold, let's say that again.
Nope.
I'm assuming you're talking about me because we're from the West Country. So yes, I know what Fetcher's is.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't had a drink in like 4.5 years, so I'm not in this conversation.
From the West
Coast. Hey, good for you, Spora. That's awesome, dude. I admire making a decision and sticking with it.
I like my peanut butter flavored whiskey.
I love that. I drank some of that last night and some of it today. But
I got some of it in my hand right now.
Spora, don't be offended, but cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers.
Hey, peanut butter whiskey sounds amazing.
See, we've got the famous pokey here now as well.
Ooh, I'm an expert at peanut butter whiskey. It has to be Screwball.
Got a bottle of Screwball right here.
Yeah, I've tried one other, and it's trash, and there was another next to it that looked just as trash, and now there's a fourth one.
I've had some other ones that were actually kind of okay, but remember, I like nasty vodka, so take what I say with a grain of salt.
No, I disagree. Screwball is...
Screwball's awesome.
Yeah, whatever they before they put the flavor and the sugar into it, whatever they make it out of is very, very high quality and or very, very highly filtered because they don't put a hangover in that bottle.
Oh, I'm sure if you dig deep enough, you can find one.
I'm actually drinking some Revelstoke Nut Crusher peanut butter whiskey, but I normally do go for Screwball.
Ooh, good. How does it compare then?
Well, I think I'd prefer... The Screwball, but like the bottle, I decided to buy this one and in particular because I like the bottle and just decided I wanted it. But it will do in a pinch.
Wow, I don't keep bottles around that long. That probably says more about me than you. But cool, that's pretty cool. But it's close then.
Well, it's smooth. Like I haven't had like the whole like feeling like I'm going to cough or anything. And it's kicking in a little bit, but yeah, it's not bad. It's, if it's what is available, I would definitely not, stop myself from getting it. But if I can get Screwball, then I'll get Screwball.
Yeah, I've never not been able to get Screwball. That's pretty cool.
You're saying it's basically silver or bronze, but it's not gold medal.
No, definitely not gold. Screwball is gold for me.
Cool. Some years ago,
over at MIT, when I was going to physical luck meeting, after the meeting, we would close down, and they hurried over to a local brew pub, and I hadn't had a beer in several years, and I just had the usual, not a light beer, but nothing too dark, just a regular beer.
Golden
beer. And especially since I hadn't eaten much, that rare beer had a lot more kick than when I was drinking your usual, Bud Light back when I was younger.
Okay, I found the other two peanut butter whiskeys that I like. Old Smoky is okay, and then there's also Blind Squirrel, which is really good.
All right, I will look for Blind Squirrel then. Cool, thank you.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.